You're Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Blue Jackets fans, happy Monday. Happy almost hockey season. We are back full time now. We are going to be Monday to Friday. This is Locked On Blue Jackets. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, as always, your host, Jay Foster. And like I said at the top of the show, hockey season is back, essentially. It's been all prospects for the past week or so. Blue Jackets have been killing it in the Traverse City tournament, as they always do. Their final game is later today. And not so much a surprise, but a very pleasant realization of this tournament, I think, is Yegor Chinnikov and that rocket of a shot he has. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, as well as, you know, a couple of other little prospect things. And we also have a little mailbag segment at the end for you all, because it is Monday, and we love a mailbag Monday over here. So let's get right into it with the Chinnikov discussion, because I had kind of been paying attention to him last season. Obviously, he won the Gagarin Cup, he won Rookie of the Year in the KHL, and I think a lot of people have been surprised by this kid that didn't get drafted in his original draft year, went in the first round, his second eligible draft year. So he is a year older than all the other 2020 draft picks. But he spent that time developing, he spent that time working hard, and he's clearly come over to North America this season with the intention of playing on the Blue Jackets, is what I'm getting from this prospect camp. He seems like a guy, much like Mazlikins, who stayed in Europe until he knew that there was a potential spot on the Blue Jackets roster. Chinnikov does not want to play for the Cleveland Monsters. Chinnikov wants to play for the Blue Jackets, and honestly, like, looking at his rookie tournament so far, like, he is just getting better and better with every game. He's been playing on a line with Cole Sillinger, our 12th overall pick this season, our only first round pick of this season to take part in tournaments, and Tyler Angle, who was a 7th round draft pick a couple of seasons ago, but had a monster year in Cleveland, if you will excuse the pun. So he has had some good line mates, but also he's just, what a shot on that guy. He had a goal in the first game against Toronto, which was just everything that has been advertised to me as a peak Chinnikov shot. He had 2 goals in the victory over Dallas, which brought the Blue Jackets to 2-0 so far. And then last night, he had 3 goals. Yep, he had a hat-trick against the Dallas Red Wings in a 7-3 victory, which, you know, like, is he going to get 4 goals today? Like, is that, should we be preparing for that? And yeah, I know it's, we should be tempering our expectations. Obviously, a prospect tournament is not the NHL, but, and, you know, Jeff Svoboda has made some really great tweets on it of, like, we should be expecting guys like Chinnikov and Sillinger to stand out in these tournaments. Sillinger, who I'll talk about in a minute, has also had a really strong tournament, not quite as strong as Chinnikov, but again, he's a couple of years younger. This is his first time kind of really playing hockey with, you know, adults instead of other teenagers, and so it's to go back to Chinnikov, Jeff Svoboda made a couple of really great tweets about this is what, you know, we should be expecting them to stand out. You know, that's the bare minimum for a good first round prospect, is to stand out at a tournament like this. I don't think anyone was expecting this, though. We were expecting him to be good. I don't think we were expecting him to be this good. And I think that bodes really well, and has really kind of made a lot of people outside of the Blue Jackets organization kind of sit up and think, oh, okay, maybe Kekalainen did know what he was doing when he drafted this kid last season. And I think it's basically he's going to walk into camp and be on one of the top four lines there, I think. I would be surprised if he does not make the team, frankly. After a showing like this at a prospect tournament, yes, again, it is a prospect tournament. It's not the NHL. This kid, it seems legit. Again, small sample size, so it's tough to really say, oh, this guy's going to be, you know, he's going to score 6 goals in 3 games in the NHL, but, like, 6 goals in 3 games, even in a prospect tournament, is pretty good. So I'm super excited to kind of see where he goes from there. Like I said, the Blue Jackets are playing their final game today. It should be an interesting one. They're going to be playing Toronto again, who they opened the tournament with. There is not a champion being awarded at Traverse City this time because of the uneven schedule, which makes sense. But there was a very good tweet from the Blue Jackets mascot Stinger, who was like, well, they're just not having a championship because the Blue Jackets have won it too many times, which makes sense. I believe we have 5 championships in Traverse City since, I think, 2008. So, you know, we generally put in a pretty good showing at these things. But this is kind of the first time where you look at the prospect pool and you're like, oh, okay, this isn't even all of our guys. We're missing Danil Tarasov, who is likely our Cleveland Monsters starter this season, potentially could spend some time in the NHL, you know, injuries or trades notwithstanding. We're missing our other 2 first-round picks this year, Kent Johnson, who went 5th overall, Corson Coolemans, who went 25th overall. They're both in school, so they couldn't take part. Carson Meyer is out with an injury. He was another guy who just tore up the AHL last season, so, you know, we're missing, this isn't even all of our top-level prospects, and we're still putting on a pretty good show, which is fun to see. I feel like it's been a while since Blue Jackets hockey has been fun to watch, just because we were so bad last season. It hasn't really been that long, you know, we were pretty good the season before, but between, you know, the season pause and then the delayed season start, it's been a while since Blue Jackets hockey has been fun, and I'm super excited to kind of see where we go from here. In a minute, I will talk a little bit about some of the other standouts on the Blue Jackets prospect roster, but first I've got to tell you about Fantrax. I'm going to give you the inside track on fantasy hockey. It is Fantrax. Fantrax Free NHL Fantasy Hockey League Manager is the most customizable, the easiest to use, and feature-rich platform in the industry. You can sign up for free today, and as a special offer for Locked On Blue Jackets fans, you get entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey. All you have to do is go to fantrax.com/lockedon and sign up. That is fantrax.com/lockedon. Top dynasty fantasy hockey platform in the industry, Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues. You can go deep with the ultimate keeper in dynasty leagues, create a simple redraft league, or even a customizable best ball league with up to 2,000 teams. If you're coming from another service, Fantrax can import any of your current leagues and customize if needed. If you ever had a trade go wrong, made a mistake in dropping a player, if you've had leagues on Yahoo or ESPN, you can migrate to Fantrax for a better experience. The Fantrax Commissioner tool allows you to undo any move with one simple click. Among the most trusted names in fantasy sports since 2008, they've been offering hockey, football, baseball, basketball, college football, golf, soccer, and NASCAR. If there is anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, Fantrax likely has it. Fantasy sports don't sleep, and neither does Fantrax, with seasons running 365 days a year. There's a reason why fantasy players who try Fantrax make it the permanent home for all of their fantasy leagues. Again, sign up for free and be entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey. Simply go to fantrax.com/lockedon and sign up today. That is fantrax.com/lockedon. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. I've also got to tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does it sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your best for your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So obviously Chinakov is the story of the Prospects tournament season so far, but there have been other guys that have put in a pretty good showing. I think really noticeable for me, Cole Sillinger, I think, has had a pretty decent season, or a pretty decent tournament, excuse me. But one guy that I have been watching every time he's on the ice is Stanislav Svozil, who we drafted 69th overall in the third round. And he has just... He feels very Werenski-esque, which is always fun. He's a very offensively minded defenseman. He also made some really great defensive plays, especially in the first game against Toronto. I thought he was just fantastic, and every time he was on the ice, I was like, oh, he was noticeable. Which is not necessarily something you want your defenseman to be, but the thing about Svozil that I've noticed so far is that, yeah, he makes mistakes. Young defensemen are going to make mistakes. It's a tough position to play. He recovers really fast, and he can get back in time to fix those mistakes in a way that some defensemen aren't. So he's been one of my guys to watch. I will be watching him again today against Toronto and seeing, you know, if he can keep up the strong tournament that he's had. Jake Christensen was another name that I think has had a pretty solid tournament. He's one of those guys that I think is probably not going to play a ton in the NHL this season, but he will probably play top line minutes for Cleveland, and he feels like he's right at the top of the list for guys who will likely be on the call-ups if again, we have injury or if something's not working. It'll be interesting to see, and I think the hiring of Steve McCarthy as well is going to be good for guys like Christensen, guys like Bayreuther, guys like Peak, who have kind of been hovering between the NHL and the AHL. He's familiar with them. He's coached them for many seasons, at least in Cleveland. So he's going to be familiar with those guys. He knows who's going to work the best in the Blue Jackets system. So hopefully the defense will be kind of a little bit more, probably be a little bit more dynamic in terms of lineup. I would be surprised if we play the same six or seven defensemen all season. And I think Christensen is one of the guys who could potentially get a look to maybe make that third line pair, because we don't really have any kind of solid defense set up yet. So it'll be interesting to see. I thought he had a really good game yesterday against Dallas. I thought he was really noticeable against Detroit. He was really noticeable against Dallas as well, which was our second game. And you know, it's the future is actually looking kind of bright for Blue Jackets fans and Blue Jackets prospects, which is not something that we've been able to say for a couple of years, I think. Which, you know, I mean, the thing about making the playoffs is that generally you pick, you know, 16th or higher overall, but our prospects are starting to come together. I think the Monsters are going to be very good this season. I'll be doing a lot of Monsters coverage with friend of the show, Dina Weinheimer. You all know Dina. She's wonderful and knows a ton about Cleveland Monsters, so that should be super exciting. And yeah, overall, I'm going to call this tournament a success, even, you know, barring the game that is just about to start as I finish recording this. Even going 3-1 in a tournament like this seems pretty good. I will take that for a Blue Jackets team that, again, has not been fun to watch for a while. So I've been enjoying it. Hopefully, if you guys have managed to catch any of the games, you've been enjoying it as well. And from that, I am going to lead into a couple of questions for the mailbag. So we're going to start off with, you know, who was the most fun to watch in the scrimmage? And I've kind of talked about that a little bit already, or, you know, I haven't seen a ton of the scrimmages so far, but in terms of games and stuff, obviously, you know, Chinnikov is just a joy to watch. Sillinger, I feel like every time he has the puck, he's doing something exciting and fun with it. Svozil has been good. Someone that has really surprised me as well, actually, that I didn't mention before is the goalie, Jet Greaves, who I don't believe was drafted into the NHL. I believe he is a PTO guy that we signed because Tarasov couldn't make the tournament. And he has done surprisingly well. You know, the Blue Jackets have been really lucky with goaltending prospects up until now, for the most part. And this, I feel like this is the first time in a while that the Blue Jackets haven't really got a solid prospect goaltending pipeline beyond Tarasov, who, you know, we're expecting to be pretty good. Greaves kind of coming in and being that kind of, oh, I don't know, we need a goalie, let's just sign a guy. I think he's done really well. He was a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, I am a little bit biased because I do love a goalie, but he's done pretty well. The first two games he played, the other goalie, whose name I can't remember, he played pretty well yesterday against Detroit. I assume Greaves will play today against Toronto again, so it, like I said, it should be fun. I'm having fun watching this team, which is nice. Another question, with our defense basically unrecognizable and a new coach, thoughts about Werenski and the Rover approach? I am a big fan of having a defenseman like Werenski who just kind of wanders up and down the ice in a way that is good both offensively and defensively. I feel like there's a tendency with offensive defensemen to look a little bit lost when they're in their own zone or when they're in transition, but Werenski looks pretty sharp almost all of the time. And with, you know, the addition of, I mentioned Svozil as a Werenski type earlier, Dean Kukan is kind of Werenski-esque. When I talked to Jared Brown of Draft Pro Hockey, he also mentioned Carson Kuhlmans as having that kind of Werenski archetype in his game. And frankly, I think we should just ice five Rovers and then Vladislav Gavrikov. Though that being said, Vladislav Gavrikov has also had his moments of you look up and suddenly he's behind the other team's goal and you don't know what happened, you don't know what went wrong. But there he is doing the offensive thing. So I'm a big fan of when the defense gets involved. I think it's more fun than just kind of having them hang out on the blue line and wait for the puck to come to them. And I think our success in recent years has been due to how mobile our defense is. Obviously, the loss of Seth Jones has left a big hole in the blue line. But, you know, bringing Bean in, he's pretty offensively minded. Boquist as well is shaping up to be a really solid piece. The blue line could be an interesting place this season with many adventures, shall we say. In a minute, I've got a couple more questions from the mailbag. But first, I've got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is delicious, nutritious, and all around amazing. They have got a ton of regular flavors. They've got coconut, they've got raspberry, they've got salted caramel, they've got cookies and cream. And if you can't pick a favorite from this list, you can get a mixed box, which is where you'll get 9 of each of the flavors, which is where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors, and you will be able to pick a favorite and go from there. And then you can buy just so many Built Bars. Too many Built Bars, maybe. When you have figured out your favorite. Mine is the mint brownie. We know this. Mint and chocolate is such a good combination. And if you don't like the sound of any of the flavors on this list, which seems absurd because there's such a good variety, I feel like every other day I'm getting an email from Built Bar being like, hey, we have a new limited time flavor. We have cookie dough. We have Rocky Road. We have grasshopper cookie. They just recently had a like a mint marshmallow puff flavor, which was, I didn't try it, but it sounded incredible. So if you have a favorite candy bar, Built Bar probably does a reasonable facsimile, and even better, it is healthy as well. High in protein, low in sugar, low in carbs, low in calories, tastes exactly like a candy bar. You can't lose with a Built Bar. And here's the best bit. If you go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off your order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. Another question for the mailbag is something that I have kind of been avoiding thinking about because it stresses me out, but who should they try on our inevitable cluster F of a power play? Will it miraculously be better because it's different? That's the weird thing. The power play, we have lost a lot of the regular guys on our power play. Atkinson was a regular on the power play. Dubois was a regular on the power play. Foligno was a regular on the power play. Seth Jones, obviously, was a regular on the power play. Really, the only kind of guys that I would say are locks to be on the power play this season is Werenski and Bjorkstrand. Line A, I assume, will get plenty of power play time. Voracek as well is a guy that you're going to want out there. And honestly, that I would try. I would have Line A, Voracek, and Bjorkstrand across the middle. I would have Zach Werenski kind of quarterbacking it from the top, and then put Boone Jenner in front of the net where he can, you know, throw his weight around and crash and bang and all of those things that Boone Jenner likes to do. And then for the second unit, like, just my colleague at Locked On Ducks, Jason Hernandez, says this a lot. Let the kids play. You've got Texier, you've got Bebstrom, you've probably got Cheetahkov, you've maybe got Sillinger, you've got Boquist and Bean, who are both, you know, basically still kids. Like, have fun with it. Try a bunch of different things. See what works. It should be fun. I am vaguely positive about the power play this season. I think a lot of it is, it's very easy to blame Brad Larsen for our terrible power play the last kind of few seasons. But, you know, it's not all on him. And him being the head coach now, he, like, in theory, is delegating to one of our assistant coaches. They will get the lineup decisions. They will maybe be able to choose the systems. So I'm hoping for, if not a better power play, at least a new look power play this season, because I think the problem that the Blue Jackets power play had, and I kind of said this all season, was that they didn't try anything new in terms of systems. They just kind of kept doing the same thing but swapped different players in and out, without kind of maybe accepting that the problem was not that the players couldn't score, it was that they weren't being put in a position to do so. You know, like, the biggest thing for me was Patrick Laine on the power play last season. When he managed to get that shot off, it, you know, 9 times out of 10, it went in the net. He didn't get the puck an awful lot on the power play, and I don't know if that's because the way the power play was set up meant that no one was in the right place to pass to him, or if it was very much a, well, we can't rely on Laine all the time, so we're going to look for other options because guys are going to be marking him. But, like, guys mark Ovechkin on the power play all the time, and it still doesn't stop him, you know? And Laine has, if not an Ovechkin shot, he has a very similar shot. I think he's, you know, maybe got a top five shot in the NHL, and that's, I don't think that's a hot take particularly. So, like, that's, I guess that's kind of my wish for the power play, is just kind of get the puck to Laine. Like, we got him to score goals, like, let's put him in a position to score as many goals as humanly possible. And that is my mini rant on the power play today. I'm sure I will rant much more throughout the season when it is inevitably horrible, as it always is. But that's all I've got for you today. Tomorrow we are going to be looking at the overall prospect tournament. We'll look in detail at a couple of other players, and we'll have some fun with it. It'll be, like I've said a million times in this podcast, it'll be fun. So make sure you check in tomorrow for Locked On Blue Jackets. I have been Jay Foster. You can find me on Twitter at _JacobFoster, JakobFoster. You can find this podcast at LO_BlueJackets. And also, wherever you get your podcasts, we are on Apple, we are on Spotify, we are on Stitcher, we are on Podbean, we are on Odyssey. If you have a podcast platform of choice, you can find us there. And if you have comments, questions, criticisms, questions for next week's mailbag, you can email me at lockedonbluejackets@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, make sure you stay locked on.